It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Power at the point, trying to just get back to the net. Nice pass, Petrucci scores! What a pass, and Quinn with the finish! Out of the corner, plays it back. It's a shot, scores! Welcome Jacob Bernard Docker with a dart against his former team, ties the game at two. Benson in behind the goal. Everyone can handle him in front. Thompson scores! Zach Benson does the work, and Tage Thompson with the finish. 3-2 Buffalo. Ball for Bucks Knight, and the victory all around. Lindy Ruff's 600th regular season win as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, and he acknowledged the crowd going down the tunnel.
Those are the games you got to win. We went out, we went, got it. Great win. Great win.
Game, boys, but this one goes to Lindy for 600 wins as a Sabre.
Nice storylines that emerged from last night's win over Ottawa. I'll start with this, Marty. Is March the worst month of the year?
Yes, when you wake up and there's snow on the ground and you just got your head shaved the night before. I'm like, seriously? My Bald for Bucks cap, the one that you're sporting right now, really came in handy this morning. I had to run back to the closet and get it because I was like, what is this white stuff all over the backyard?
Producer Jeff, greatly offended by my question merely because of the sports calendar, but I'm parking sports for my sanity and for my warmth and for trying not to be constantly misled by this 4+ week window on the annual calendar.
Well, I'll say this. March is a great calendar for sports. Yes, you got March Madness. You know, like the NHL is really ramping up. The NBA is ramping up. Golf is back and prime, like, you know, you're watching. But I have to say April could also be a month where the Masters, the NHL playoffs are starting, the NBA playoffs are starting. You got Major League Baseball that's starting. So, yeah, March is a great sports calendar. But I feel like usually we don't get these mornings where we wake up and it's, you know, like 31, 30 degrees outside, there's snow. In April, we're usually past that. So that's why I'm going to say March may not be as good every day of the month as we would want it to be.
Sorry for the start of show digression. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sabres Live. It is hump day. So we're getting over that from a weather standpoint. And I don't know. Why don't we start with this? based on its arrival in our social feed just moments ago at Sabres Live, and it mildly or significantly ties in with our group texting last night, where I said, hashtag, make offer sheets the norm.
Oh, yeah. You went a little crazy there,
well,
but
no,
okay.
I didn't. Well, I mean, if you're calling me that, then you're calling me that in a wide brush because...
No, I didn't say you're crazy. I said you went a little crazy. That's different.
I didn't, though. I've always been this way. That's the thing. I went nowhere. I stayed in my lane. I've been in this lane for a long time. And, okay, now that J.J. Paterka continues to produce and doesn't have a contract, we were prompted with better sign J.J. fast or someone is going to offer sheet him. Let me preface the reason why I'm interested in this topic and always will be. Dylan Holloway of the St. Louis Blues, previously a 9-point scorer in the NHL, reached 60 points last night in his first ever season with the St. Louis Blues. Oh, and by the way, the other former Oiler teammate that was offer sheeted by the Blues, Philip Broberg, had 4 points in yet another win for St. Louis, who is 14-2-2 in their last 18 games.
So when it comes to offer sheet and players like J.J. Paterka, here's the thing. It's really a 5-day window between July 1st and July 5th. Because starting on July 5th, players like Paterka can now, the team can file for arbitration. Once a team has filed for arbitration, they cannot be offer sheeted anymore. So a lot of time, offer sheets don't happen in the first 5 days of July because teams are looking at their own RFA, they're looking at UFA, and they're working like that. And then they say, okay, we'll get to those players in a little bit. Think of last year when Holloway and Broberg were signed to an offer sheet. It was later in the summertime. So you have 5 days to kind of worry about. So I get it that may be stressful for a guy like J.J. Paterka. But he also has to agree to a contract with another team. It's not like a team drops an offer sheet on his table and says, you've been offer sheeted. And that's not how it works, right? So if J.J. Paterka in 5 days in July wants to look elsewhere, and well, I can probably tell you that his price is going to be very high, right? If other teams want to come in and look at J.J. Paterka, he's going to be asking for a lot of money. Then after that, on July 5th, the Sabres file for arbitration. Boom, that all goes away. So that's the thing. I think we have to be concerned about it. And we also should look around the league and say who's a candidate for an offer sheet. But it's very rare that those things will happen in the first 5 days of July. But you're right. Like, J.J. Paterka is really good. He's having a career year. And, you know, AFP projection were, you know, around $6.5 million in a six-year deal. I think we can pretty much say that's about a guarantee. Like $6.5 million for J.J. Paterka on a six-year deal is my probably bottom line right now. I think it's going to be a little higher than that.
How much do the final 12 games potentially impact that dollar figure?
I don't think it impacts it that much because now we know like what J.J. has done this year, right? We know that he can play with Tage Thompson and produce. He can play with Ryan McLeod and produce. He can produce on the power play. He's a player that obviously fits what the Sabres team is trying to do now. Like, they moved on from Dylan Cousins. Cousins was, look, a good player, but not something that was really fitting. And I think when you look at what Lindy Ruff is trying to do with the team, J.J. Paterka is a player that fits exactly what Lindy's trying to do right now, which, you know, he mentioned that last night, and it took a little while this year, but hopefully that's the direction that this team is going, winning against Winnipeg, winning against Ottawa. Like, those are good wins. James Reimer had a big saying in that, but these are good wins, and J.J. was a big part of that.
So when it comes to offer sheet speculation, worry, prevention, do you suspect that a deal will get done long before we reach that stage in July?
I mean, I'll put my, you know, positive glasses on and say, oh, yeah. And J.J. Pateko is a big part of this organization, big part of this team. My concern... And
oh, let me guess.
My concern is going to be very blunt. And I think you know where I'm going to go.
Yes, I do.
Is his agent, Alan Walsh, has been spitting rumors of J.J. Pateko. Well, I don't have any concrete proof of that. I'm speculating like Alan Walsh is. So I'm playing the game here. But it's like, oh, the Rangers won J.J. Pateko. Oh, this team wants... And really, from what I'm gathering, there's really no truth to it. Maybe teams have called on J.J. Pateko, but there's no way the Sabres were even entertaining that. Then that's a tool that maybe an agent has to raise a player's value and say, look at the buzz that's around J.J. Pateko. So I think Alan Walsh is going to call the Sabres at the end of the year and say, my client wants 8 years, $8.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, like, settle down here. Like, he probably will ask for 9.5 for 8 years, right? That's probably Alan Walsh. And then you're like, okay, settle down. Like, let's be smart about it. But knowing the agent and knowing the situation, he's probably going to wait until July 1, and he's probably going to use the pressure that could be other teams talking to him about J.J. Pateko, because by that point, it's not, you know, like... But not collusion. What's the word? Be collusion or whatever. But there's a word there too when you talk to other players. But tampering. It's not tampering, right? It's not tampering. So your
collusion is fine. When more conspire to not do something. Like
yes. So he's gonna
like
wait
when the
until
owners were, you know, in previous eras of sport, you know, they colluded to not sign players to. Anything above this,
yes,
right, and then
they colluded to give false information.
They
colluded to give false information so that they could keep other people's salary lower and whatever.
Right.
So, but look, I don't think that J.J. Pateko will be signed before July 1, just not because the Sabres don't want to do it, because I think his agent is going to drag this on as long as he can to make it work best for his client.
Okay. Well, interesting topic nonetheless. And, well, take it off of the Sabres page for a second and have a little more commentary on how successful this strategy has been for the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
What do you think will happen? Will we see more in the way of offer sheets presented towards younger players with still limited NHL experience at the bargain rate of which both Holloway and Broberg were acquired? Just over $2 million a year for Holloway and $4.5 million a year for Broberg.
I think that's very possible, Duffer, and I'm looking at a list of some of the players that could be offer sheet candidate, right? And then I know J.J. Pateko is on that list. Bo Byram is also on that list. Keandre Miller is on that list. Evan Bouchard in Edmonton is on that list. You've got Matthew Knights on the list. Like, you've got a lot of players that are on the list.
But thinking of it in the context of St. Louis going after the Edmonton players.
Mm-hmm.
Broberg, Holloway, in no way equal where J.J. Pateko is already at now. We're talking about something completely different. We're talking about trying to get players who have come nowhere close to expectations, but someone sees a huge upside. So wouldn't Jack Quinn be more in this conversation than J.J. Pateko?
If you are wanting to overpay a player by a little bit, but
overpaying
not,
when you're paying $2.2 million for a 60-point player in Dylan Holloway.
But I'm just saying, like, so you're looking at saying we're gonna go, and the Oilers were a team that were in a cap situation to say we can't match one or the other or both because we have other contracts that are coming into play, mm-hmm. and so you have to find that sweet spot. Now, I don't think the Sabres are in that position to say we would not be able to retain. They could not choose to retain, right. but they would not be able to. That's a different situation. But you would have to overpay, I think, a Jack Quinn by a little bit to say, hey, we're going to take him away from the Sabres. And so I don't see Jack Quinn being that candidate. I because it doesn't fit in the how you work an offer sheet and put a team in a bad situation. Boston would have been a prime candidate for an offer sheet on Jeremy Swayman 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they had Linus Ullmark already getting paid and he was still in Boston. They were really tight to the cap and you could have paid Jeremy Swayman what he's making right now or close to and put Boston in a position where they wouldn't have been able to match in 48 hours unless they would have traded somebody and made, you know, some major movement. So that's what you got to find. And that's why I think the Sabres are probably not concerned about Quinn or Peterka or Byram, because whatever the price would come at, unless it was a crazy, like, what are you doing price, they would probably match it. They would probably go out and match it. So, you know, if you want to look at what Carolina did, you want to offer sheet Sebastian Aho, thank you. You gave us a favor. You did us a favor, Montreal, because maybe we weren't going to have him sign by camp and by the start of the season. And now you've offer sheeted him. He agreed to that contract. We match. Boom. It's all said and done. It worked for Carolina. I think this could potentially even work for the Buffalo Sabres.
What? I don't even know if this is really valid within our discussion about offer sheets, but you have talked about this player a lot. He now has 6 points in 3 games against Ottawa this year, which leads all scorers head-to-head. He, with every point, continues to add to his career season. He is a first-year Sabre, Ryan McLeod.
Yeah, so Ryan McLeod, for me, it's going to be interesting what they do with McLeod moving forward and where they fit him, right? Because I look at McLeod and I think he's a third-line center, but he's producing. And he's producing at a really, really nice rate. And so he's an RFA. Would teams look at Ryan McLeod in the same way, saying, okay, he's making $2.1 million this year. He's an RFA. And he's an older RFA, so we're getting more of his prime years right now. He's 25. He's not 22 or 23. But, you know, that's, I mean, you only have until you're 26 years old to really be an RFA, because when you're 27, you're a UFA. So he's on the other side. You're like, okay, if we were to offer sheet Ryan McLeod on a 5 or 6 year deal, we get him from 25, 26 to 30, 31. We get him in those prime years. Mm-hmm. When you offer sheet a 22 or 23 year old guy, well, you're getting him from 23 to 27, 28, depending on the length of the contract. And maybe you're like, we're still before the prime years. But with Ryan McLeod, I mean, this season, 43 points, I'm not going to say he's going to double last year's, you know, top that he had, but he's going to get to 50. And last year was at 30. Like, is a third line center at 50 to 60 points incredible? Yes, I would take that 100%. But he's also playing minutes now that is a second line center type of minutes, mm-hmm. because of Norris not being in the lineup and Thompson on the wing and Kulik's in the middle. And so I don't know that I have him as a 55, 60 points guy as a second line center, mm-hmm. but maybe a 40 to 50 points guy, third line center. I'm totally good with that.
I hope you're enjoying the chat today.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so he's at $2 million. AFP Analytics has projected Ryan McLeod to be at $3 million on a 3 year deal.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This projection.
This was at Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah. And they also mark like something like.
Why don't you reach out to James now?
Yeah, I should. They are going to come up with different projections after the season, but they also have a column that says, what are they trending? Are they trending down? Are they trending up? So it makes a difference because with Ryan McLeod, they wrote similar. So by at Christmas, when they came out with their projection, he was similar, meaning he's the same way that he was. He's just, you know, slightly trending up. I think right now I would say trend up. I think right now it probably would be in the 3.5 to 4.5, like around the $4 million range for Ryan McLeod. Like, I think he's a million above those projections in the way that he's playing right now.
I would agree. If you're interested, like I am, in this conversation today, hit us up on X at Sabres Live and offer up anything and everything that may be related to current Sabres, their future contracts, their situation, their role within this team that has 12 games to go in the regular season. And one player that we probably could have never assumed to be talking about at this point in the season is maybe emerging as a consistent depth player among the forward group. He is also an RFA. His name is Tyson Kozak. What do you think Kozak has been able to carve out for himself here? And again, I'll say it, this unexpected larger window in the NHL than I think most of us could have imagined this year.
So it's kind of funny because there is no projection in AFP analytics on Tyson Kozak, right? Because he was in the AHL. He was not in the NHL. He was not figuring to be like, hey, let's put projections out there for Tyson Kozak. I think Tyson Kozak would be very much in line for what would have started as a two-way deal at the start of the year into a one-way contract. And you do a 1 or 2 year deal on a one-way somewhere in the low $1.2 million, whatever. And you say, hey, look, we're just rewarding you. He was on an entry-level deal paying him $890. So you're looking at it and saying, okay, well, you know, that's the base. It doesn't matter if we go 900, $1 million, $1 million, $1 million, $1 million, $2 million. But I think that's saying, like, Jacob Bryson signed a 900,000 one-year extension. That to me is, okay, you know what? You're a seventh kind of defenseman, and if somebody emerges from Rochester, maybe you're at the mercy of having to be sent down, and it's not going to cost the Sabres anything on their salary cap in the NHL. Anything under 1.25, I believe, is you know, doesn't cost you anything on your cap. So you do the same thing with Tyson Kozak, but it's a little bit more money because right now you're, you know, you have Peyton Krebs. You have Tyson Kozak. You have those type of guys that are basically doing the same thing, but you're paying Peyton Krebs a lot more, right? So it's looking at it like Peyton Krebs at $1.45 million from now until the end of next year. So maybe that's Kozak money right there and even a little less. What do you say? 1.1, 1.2. That's good.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking 3 years at 1.1. is the next deal for Kozak.
But why would he take a three-year deal then? Like, it's like, I think
because
it's
he would be the mayor and then some of Souris, Manitoba.
He would be the mayor, definitely. He's 2 years, so it would put him in a place where he's 22 years old, so 3 years would put him in a place where he'd be 25. You know, if you've established yourself in the NHL and you're a place where cap is going up, you'll make more money.
What does establish himself in your eyes mean? when you say that? Like, what is your projection for him moving forward? Because that's, I don't arbitrarily land on a number like 1.1 for 3 years. It's my expectation of a guy who was a seventh round pick and has done a lot of little things to garner incredible praise and respect from coaches at both levels here, AHL and NHL. But I'm not envisioning Tyson Kozak being a 24-goal scorer.
No, I'm not in this.
Like, that's why I'm saying, like, why would he take a three-year deal? Because I think Tyson knows what his projection, and he's, don't get me wrong, he's never going to limit himself. No one would. But, like, there's a reality to this situation. And if anything, I think Tyson Kozak understands reality.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you. But if I was his representation, I would say, Tyson, let's do two years, because my expectation of you is to be an everyday player. Mm-hmm. Every day, every game. You're healthy, you play 82 games, and you're a fourth line center, or you can play the wing, but mm-hmm. you're on the fourth line, you kill penalties, and you're being used in that role, and you're going to flourish in that role, and maybe you carve yourself a career of being a bottom six, but you're reliable and dependent, and you play hard, and maybe you're 20 to 25 points a year, right? Like, okay, that's fine. Like, you're not going to move the needle up where you're going to go to 40, 50 points, but they know what to expect. And that's what, like, Johan Larsson and Zemgus Girgensson and those guys were.
Exactly.
And look, Zemgus took a deal in Tampa for less than $1 million. And he's like, but he's late in his career and he just wanted a good place. This mm-hmm. would be a good place for Tyson Kozak.
100%.
But if I was his representation, I would say, I get that you have a 3-year deal, maybe a one way at $1 million plus or $1.1 million or whatnot. Let's do two. And then you establish yourself even more mm-hmm. in the way of, hey, they need you for the role that you are doing. And in 2 years from now, well, maybe they don't have Peyton Krebs. Maybe they don't have somebody that's in your spot, and you're mm-hmm. taking that spot and you're taking that money.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's probably a very unexpected talking point here for us and for our audience today. But I think it's really interesting, just because I think most people are sitting here, obviously, already mapping out a potential offseason, following your lead as to what the team looks like on opening night next year. So therefore, they're already doing their subtractions that they don't want to see on the roster moving forward. And by that process of elimination, I think people are maybe scratching some of those names that are kind of muddied between third and fourth line right now. And I would suspect that people would want Tyson Kozak on their fourth line moving forward. So anyway, I guess the real question of the day, as we bury the lead, is James Reimer starting tomorrow?
Yes, he probably would be, in my opinion. And I get it. Lindy Ruff says we have a plan, we have a schedule, but why not reward it? And look, schedules changes all the time. I remember I was told 1 year, Marty, you're playing Thursday night against the Phoenix Coyotes at the time. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday, I'm practicing. I'm feeling good. I'm getting ready for Thursday night game. And then after the game, Lindy came up to me and said, oh, Dom is going to play tomorrow. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I learned early that schedules can change. Calendar can change. James Reimer was a big reason, probably the main reason why they beat the Winnipeg Jets. In the way that he played. I get it. They scored 4 and then an empty netter in Winnipeg. But he really gave them the chance and the feeling, hey, we can really win today. And against Ottawa, if it's not for Reimer early in the first, if it's not for Reimer early in the second, you're probably down 3-1, 4-1, you know, at some point, and you're not coming back. So Reimer gave him that feel again. And, you know, that's exactly what you want. And it's not about UPL. Look, UPL is going to get his crease, is going to get to play some games or whatever. Mm-hmm. I look at the other, you know, 18 skaters that are dressed that night, that want to perform well, that want to win games, that are put in that position. If you're down 4-1 in the second period to Ottawa, well, then we don't get like a Tage Thompson game-winning goal. We don't get a Bernard Docker 2-2 goal. Like we don't get that. Because the game slips away, you play different, and, you know, you lose a game 5-1 in an empty net, and it's like, oh, you know what? That was a tough one. And you know, now Reimer give you a chance to see Thompson score 35, to see Bernard Docker gets his first as a Sabre. Mm-hmm. So that's about the 18 other skaters that want to win, that want to compete, and that are getting saves right now from James Reimer.
Will Reimer start tomorrow? We won't find out today because the Sabres are not practicing. So, but we can look ahead with great interest to tomorrow night. The Penguins are in town. It is Pride Night inside KeyBank Center. Looking forward to seeing Marty and myself in our Pride t-shirts through the broadcast. And you can get involved by landing a Pride t-shirt and ticket, all part of this package, tomorrow night. And the ticket package starts at just $30. Visit sabres.com/pridepack to purchase yours today. There are so many stories around the NHL to discuss, including the big winners in the East last night, the Islanders and the Blue Jackets. What? How did that happen? Anyway, we'll dive into that story. Probably reinforce that Ottawa has now lost 3 of 4 thanks to last night's result in Buffalo when we come back.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit HKGroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you 4 free 5G phones and 4 lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.